back in the day during the summers, you know, the Mughals brought the concept of kulfi ice cream in India.
Yeah.
They would put dairy along with some, you know, condiments like saffron and pistachio and some cardamom. Delicious, you know, and they would store it under the ground, which would allow that to solidify into a kulfi ice cream. So that's the authentic ice cream that was done during the summers to cool the body down a little bit.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
Dimple, tell me a little bit about, we're seeing a lot of children, one, the addiction to screen and therefore the eyes, and the other is, you know, in the process of Ayurveda, not looking at a device and eating it mindfully in that very moment. So on screen for the eyes and screen and food combined.
Oh my God, it's such an important relationship.
We didn't know that would be a virudhahar now. Screen and food.
It's a virudhahar for sure. It's just that you're not consuming the screen, but you're definitely consuming screen time, which is equally unhealthy, right?
Yeah.
You know, number one, this is basic knowledge. Everybody knows. The blue light that comes out of screens, right from your mobile phones to your iPads, laptops, and even your television, it interferes with the melatonin production in your body, right? Now, melatonin is a hormone that your body produces in response to darkness and light. It tells you when is it time to wake up, when is it time to sleep. Excessive exposure to the screens is the reason why we're sleeping at the wrong time, waking up at the wrong time.
Right.
People are sleeping at 12 in the night, 1, 2. They're becoming nocturnal, apparently. Human beings are not nocturnal.
Yeah.
We are diurnal beings. We respond to the position of the sun. Okay, we are awake during the day, we're active during the day, and we sleep at night. We are not at all nocturnal. Mm-hmm. When you use the word nocturnal, you're basically trying to say that you're sick. Your circadian rhythm is broken.
Mm.
Your body clock is broken. That's what it means. That's number one. Number two, when we're looking at the screen, you know, as kids, like we did not have exposure to television up to the age of 16 till we finished our board exams.
Yeah.
We did not have television at home. And we would go to my relative's place during the summer holidays to watch TV.
Yeah.
So it was never part of our culture to look at TV and eat food. Now people are literally watching TV and putting food in their mouth, unmindful, not even aware of what's on their plate. Remember, the five senses that you have is for you to absorb information, right? So when you look at a plate of food, your eye is calculating what are the combinations on the plate. And a wise evolved being will take out a few items from the plate saying that this is not for me. Dahi is not for me. Maybe this, you know, deep fried food is not for me today. This chili is for me. Let me take the chili for me today. Based on how they're feeling. So you have to understand that your doshas are shifting on a daily basis, hourly basis inside your body. Now, for example, I might have a kapha imbalance, you know, because of a little cold. So I will look at my plate and I'll put in the chilies. I'll take out the dairy products, which I don't have any which ways, okay? So your eyes is communicating with the brain and the brain is communicating with the rest of your organs. And the organs are communicating back to the brain on what they want.
Mm.
The bacteria in your gut is also telling the brain what it's craving. So the good bacteria will crave healthy foods. The bad bacteria will crave bad foods.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's one. Second, you have to listen to the sound of the food. You have to feel it in your fingers. You know, that's why we eat with our hands, not with a fork or a spoon. So when you eat with your hands, again, the sensation, whether it's hot, cold, whether it's moist, whether it's dry, whether it's rough, whether it's greasy and pulpy, you know, that information again goes to the brain. The brain sends messages to the mouth, the salivary glands, and the stomach. They start creating the digestive juices and enzymes. It's like going to someone's house after informing them.
Mm.
You don't go unannounced to somebody's house. They'll have nothing to offer you.
Hey.
So you don't go to your own stomach unannounced. Let your stomach know what you're giving it. So use your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Even smelling food can help you prevent food poisoning.
Right.
You know, smell the food. Has it got rancid? You can't see it with the naked eye.
Yeah.
But you can smell it. Something is wrong. Something is off. You know, someone makes a pineapple raita for you. You have to smell it, you know. Pineapple and lactose do not agree with each other. They react very quickly and they break and curdle in your stomach. You can just smell it. You'll be like, okay, there's something very off about it. I don't want to put it in my stomach. Put it away immediately. You can prevent yourself from getting poisoned, food poisoning, happens almost on a daily basis to most of us nowadays. We don't even realize. And our body reacts to nausea, burping, bloating, IBS, diarrhea. And we think it's normal. It's not normal. It means you've been poisoned by the combination of food you ate and now you're running to the bathroom.
Right.
So your eyes, ears, nose, mouth are also part of your digestive health.
Right.
They're communicating and you don't want to cut it out.
Right. You know, when you mentioned the pineapple, right, that thing, just a thought, how do fruit ice creams work?
Oh, God.
An ice cream in Ayurveda.
So, you know, ice cream is a pleasure food. Okay. It's something that you have once in a while. Back in the day during the summers, you know, the Mughals brought the concept of kulfi ice cream in India.
Yeah.
They put dairy along with some, you know, condiments like saffron and pistachio and some cardamom. Delicious, you know, and they would store it under the ground, which would allow that to solidify into a kulfi ice cream.
Yeah.
So that's the authentic ice cream that was done during the summers to cool the body down a little bit. But it was still nourishing. It was naturally cooled under the ground.
Right.
Not in a refrigerator, right? Ice cream by itself is a virudahar.
Mm-hmm.
Virudahar means conflicting combination of food. Now, dairy, when it's frozen, by the way, creates more mucus in the body.
Right.
So when you have a cold and a cough, you don't have an ice cream, would you?
No.
You wouldn't give a child an ice cream when the child is sick or having a weak immunity. Why? Because you know immediately the ice cream is going to worsen the immunity. It's going to worsen the disease and the symptoms, right? So ice cream by itself is a virudahar. If you want to have it once in a while, no harm. Have it. Remember, it's a delicacy. It's an indulgence.
Yeah.
But mixing fruit with ice cream, I'm sorry, the fruit acids, like citric acid especially, which is found in most of the fruits, reacts with the lactic acid that's found in dairy products, and it immediately curdles and breaks in your tummy. And you feel a little, you know, discomfort in your tummy, especially when you've eaten out. You come back feeling like, my tummy's a little upset, but I can't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to discuss their shame with everyone.
Yeah.
My tummy's a little upset, but I don't have to tell anyone. I'm bloated, I'm gassy, I'm having flatulence, I'm having acidity, I'm having a reflux.
Right.
Nobody talks about it openly.
Right.
That's a result of what you've eaten. And that fruit ice cream is not a dessert.
Yeah.
It's also an indulgence that's gone too far.
Yeah.
You might want to cut back on that.
Okay. Also talking about raw foods, right? Raw foods at... So do you want to tell us a little bit about raw food and raw food for children? If someone wants to have it, then at what time? Because we just see people eating... And I can say this because I know she's completely said raw foods for dinner is like the worst thing that you can do your body. And I know everybody who wants to lose weight somehow just says, I'm eating only salads and soups.
Yeah.
And I silently laugh now. I've learned it from her where you say you don't need to comment on every bit of weight. You just need to absorb it. But raw foods for children, raw foods for adult, and the right time to have it.
What would you give a child that's teething, one-year-old child? Would you give them a raw carrot or stewed carrot?
Stewed.
You wouldn't be comfortable giving a raw carrot to the child because you'd be like, what if it has some kind of, you know, tapeworms or, you know, some kind of bacterial infection? Because remember, vegetables, fruits are home to parasites as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are home to other kinds of unhealthy bacteria, good bacteria, all kinds of bacteria, viruses and parasites. Why? Is the fruit and vegetable bad? No.
Yeah.
It's nourishment even for those parasites, even for those tapeworms.
Yeah.
Right? It nourishes our body. It nourishes also these microorganisms. A simple rule in Ayurveda, which all our grandmothers practiced, any vegetable that came home was blanched in hot water. Okay, so it would take off all the bacteria, the many hands that it has crossed, you know, and the many containers it has crossed before coming to you. It takes away all the unhealthy bacteria. The bacteria from the soil is good, but the bacteria from the human hands is not so good. Right? So we blanch it in hot water. And we always cook all our foods. The only two vegetables we had raw was carrots and cucumbers, which was given to adults, not even to children.
Yeah.
Stewed vegetables, boiled, steamed, is better for your gut because your gut can digest, absorb and assimilate the nutrients faster.
Yeah.
Versus a raw food makes your gut work harder. Now, who should have raw foods? There's a very small part of the human population whose metabolic fire is extremely weak. We give them raw carrots or maybe some raw cucumbers, a few pieces. But never raw beetroot. Onions also in rare occasions. We give raw onions only if the metabolic fire is very weak. But not all of us have a weak metabolic fire, especially those living in the cities. Our metabolic fire is raging as a direct relationship to the city's fast-paced life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do not eat raw foods. One, because you don't want parasitic infections. Tapeworms, tapeworm eggs, if they enter the body, enter the brain, it can cause epilepsy, seizures. You know, considering the fact that I grew up with epilepsy, I can understand where it came from.
Yeah.
right? So you do not give your children raw foods except carrot and cucumbers.
Right.
And avocado is a fruit, so you can give fruits raw as much as you like.
Right. And the time of the day?
Time of the day, like, you know, follow the circadian rhythm, eat between sunrise and sunset. And the best time to eat raw foods, I would say, is in the afternoon. When the sun is at the peak, your metabolic fire is at the peak, your body's ability to break down that raw food is better. Otherwise, remember, your body has to work harder to eat the raw food. In the evening is not a good time.
Right.
Evening is a great time for you to have maybe some sautéed vegetables.
Right.
Lightly cook it.
Yeah.
It also improves saliva in your mouth.
Right.
Sautéed vegetables with spices and the condiments and the herbs in it. You can have a bowl of vegetable soup. No harm.
Right.
But be wise in your choices. You don't want to have carbs. Fine. No one's forcing you. But carbs is great for dinner, by the way.
Yeah.
It allows you to fall asleep better. Like, you know, small bowl of rice. We don't overdo it. Just a small bowl if you can. But if you don't want to have it, that's fine. At least sauté your vegetables. Don't eat it raw.
Right. You know, like we were talking about allergies, now we're going to get into the peak of, you know, the autumn season. Five things that you would recommend for season change for children.
You know, the five foods that I usually recommend when season is changing. For adults, I recommend monodieting. Moong dal khichdi for lunch and dinner, at least for 7 days. Now the season is changing. My body naturally craves moong dal khichdi because it's like a break. It's like a holiday for the digestive system.
Yeah.
And your digestive system has been working hard since the day you were born. Give it a break, you know, with some simple foods. So moong dal khichdi is great for seasonal changes. And, you know, in Ayurveda, it's called Ritucharya. Ritu means season and charya means rituals. This is a ritual you follow between two seasons. This allows your body to acclimatize to the new season without falling sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Two, for children, I usually recommend honey and ginger. Ginger is anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral. And ginger is all season. You know, it's not a seasonal vegetable or a spice for that matter. You can use ginger in all your cuisines, you know. And if you're someone with a very weak immunity, maybe you want to include some garlic. I like the heaty spices like cinnamon, cardamom, clove, carom seeds, pepper, black pepper, the whole pepper.
Yeah.
And turmeric. Excellent. Turmeric is, again, all season. You can have it in the summers, winter, spring, autumn. It's all season. Of course, the amount of turmeric you have increases during winter and the monsoons.
Yeah.
And you have less turmeric during the summer season because it can cause yellow discoloration of the skin as well sometimes.
Yeah.
So these are some basic herbs and spices that you must keep in your kitchen.
Right. Dipal, you want to tell us a little about the top five fruits for children?
I love apples. An apple a day keeps a doctor away. And one apple is equal to one cup of coffee. It has that waking effect on your body. So give your children one apple in the morning. Number two, pineapples, rich source of vitamin C. If not pineapples, you can give your child kiwi, if the child likes sweet kiwi. Grapes is also fine, but remember to soak it in hot water and then take it out so they don't catch a cold or a cough. Mango, the king of all fruits. It is a powerhouse of micronutrients and minerals and vitamins. Definitely give your children mango. Banana is great most of the days, but not on the day the child has cold, cough, or constipation. Banana is given when you have a diarrhea instead.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the top five fruits that children naturally crave because it's sweet. They help in building tissues as well. And they help in cleansing the tissues, like the citric fruits.
Right. You know, we also spoke of hormone health, especially for young girls today, with girls having... teenagers having PCOS, PCOD, thyroid. How can we address these sort of lifestyle disorders in young girls?
I have been seeing a lot of mothers bringing their children into the clinic, and it's heartbreaking. Let me tell you, one-year-old child, girl child, showing development of breasts. Six-year-old children already showing signs of the period cycle coming.
Yeah.
This early puberty has started hitting our human body, especially... female children are most affected by it. Reason being the foods that we're eating, okay? Number one is the dairy product. Let me tell you, it sounds like I'm anti-dairy or something, but just look at where the dairy is coming from. Back in the day, every family had a cow, you know, the cow was treated well. Most of the families had a cow. And, you know, even getting milk from a gaushala if you didn't have a cow was a very normal ritual in every family. Every family knew a gaushala, which is basically a cow shelter farm. The cows were treated with kindness and, you know, the cow would give birth maybe 2 to 3 times in its entire lifetime.
Mm.
But now, 8 billion human beings. Do we really have 8 billion cows in the world? We don't. So the same cow is inseminated and forced to give birth every year and then injected with steroids, antibiotics and drugs to increase its milk production capacity.
Yeah.
And that cow's uterus is ruptured and cancerous. most of the times, and the cow is injected with so many unhealthy hormones. Do you think that unhealthy cow is going to give you healthy milk?
Yeah.
The cow is releasing estrogen, pus, and blood. Milk in the US is actually banned in almost 42 countries because they allow 5% pus in the milk. It's normal for them. Now, what do you think that pus and blood and the hormones and estrogen from milk is going to do to your child's body? It's going to accelerate the puberty cycle. It's going to advance it. Children will start having periods at the age of 6, 7, which we've already started witnessing. They start developing breasts. They start developing, you know, an adult body already at a young age, which is mentally traumatic. It seems like a lot, but make a little effort to make almond milk, coconut milk, oat milk, cashew milk. They're all powerhouse of nutrients, and we're not overdoing it. We're taking 5 almonds versus 1 glass of milk, but 1 glass of water, right? So that's barely 5 almonds per day per child, which the child can easily sustain and digest. A little effort, once a week, you make it, stock it in your fridge. It lasts for 3 to 5 days easily. You don't even have to make it every day in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a way better supplement or an alternative compared to the cow's milk. Cow's milk, dahi, paneer, cheese, such an overabused industry. And do you really want to eat products from an overabused industry? No. That's the first thing you cut out from your child's health, child's diet plan, if your child is already showing signs of early puberty.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jangra signing off.